Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Dave Weiner here, and I'm hosting a little trial show we're doing using the full-blown Blog Talk Radio system. And somewhere around here, there's Jay Rosen. Jay, are you here?
I'm here. I can hear you.
Whoa, Jay! This is cool. So, that was a surprise.
Is Dave Weiner of Scripting News?
No, it's not. It's some other dude. I honest to goodness was surprised to hear your voice when I just said that. I thought, how could he possibly be here? Nothing ever works the way it's supposed to.
Well, it's working, and I do have an idea for our 15-minute test cast here.
Go for it.
Well, I'd love to talk about the New York Times and Twitter. I think it's a perfect subject for 15 minutes, and I'm noting that a week ago today, you said at your blog, mark this day on your calendar because you said it was an important day.
Well, it was.
So
and
I'd
said
love
why.
To hear why and sort of talk about what's been going on.
Well, okay. I think I said why in that post. Did I not say why it was an important? Because I hate it when people say things like that and then don't explain it.
Well, you did say today was the day Times Wire debuted A River of News.
Right. That's it. You got it.
I would love to hear the story of what's happened since then.
Okay, well, there's not... Okay, well, first let me just explain why that was so important. And it sort of is, you know, how to put it? Let's say you fall in love with a woman, okay? And in this case, the woman would be the internet. And you fall in love with this woman, or at least that's what you say you've done, yet you keep calling her mom. And you keep saying, you know, wow, you remind me of my mom in so many ways. Let me tell you how many different ways you remind me of my mom. And you start every time you talk to this person who you say you love, that's all you ever say. Oh, you're just like my mother, you know?
She's not like that.
Well, no, she's not like that. And, of course, that's all she can ever think is, well, you know, I kind of like this guy, but, you know, he writes good news and everything, and he sort of has reporters all over the world, and everybody's heard of him, right? But why does he keep calling me his mother, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the problem, is that every time they looked at the Internet, they saw the newspaper. They said, this is a newspaper. This works just like the newspaper. We'll treat this just as if it were the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And if it's not. The newspaper has a period to it. It's, you know, printed once a day, or in the old days they used to print it several times a day. There would be all these different editions and whatnot. But still, they would put together a front page. You know, they would have all these meetings around what was on the front page, what was on the middle page, you know, all these different layout questions. Everything was built around the layout.
Mm-hmm.
But the Internet isn't like that. The Internet is probably the best medium for delivering news that we've ever – it certainly is the best medium for delivering the news that we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no probably about it. We probably will invent something better than it at some point in the future, but that day hasn't come yet. So that's why it's so important. It was the day, in my mind, that the Times stopped calling the new woman the gray lady's girlfriend, stopped calling her mom and started appreciating her for her own, you know, qualities. And so, you know, that's a big deal, I think, because from there, Jay, other things can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Until you actually acknowledge that it is different and start believing it, you can't really get anywhere.
Right. Well, this relates to something that I have been observing about the journalism profession's reaction to the Internet, especially the newspaper wing. And that is, in the 1970s and 80s, a bunch of social scientists went into newsrooms and they researched how journalists make decisions. And
mm-hmm.
they looked at their work routines, they hung out in the newsroom and took notes, they interviewed the people who make these decisions, and they wrote books with titles like Deciding What's News, Manufacturing the News, Making the News, Producing News. And one of the discoveries they made was that journalists give you all kinds of reasons for why they're doing what they're doing, but when you look carefully at it, most of what they do is a reaction to the demands of a production routine.
Mm-hmm.
And the presses have to roll at a certain time so that the papers can be loaded on the trucks at a certain time,
mm-hmm.
and so
mm-hmm.
that the delivery and the doorstep can be there by 6 a.m. because if it's not, the value of the newspaper really drops, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so everything is organized backwards by the production deadline. And that's the God. That is the power that is within the organization. And what's so upsetting, of course, and disruptive about the Internet is that it removes that deadline completely,
right.
which
yeah.
the entire organization was built around.
Right.
And so
yeah.
I know what you mean when you say flow.
Yeah.
Continuous
yeah.
flow,
well,
right, is the language of the Internet. It's a completely different language than...
But Jay, it's not just the language. It's not just the language of the Internet, because look at the essence of the thing that news is, right? News isn't the newspaper. News is just a way of newspaper is just a way of conveying that, right?
Right.
It's
news
not
is
the thing itself, right?
Updating this
goes back
your
to
world,
the,
right.
the freshman dorm conversation that we were supposedly having a few days ago. But, you know, it's not actually what the thing is. The news is the thing. And
mm-hmm.
the news doesn't wait until your deadline to happen, right?
Doesn't care about your deadline, yeah.
It has no clue about your deadline.
Right.
Although, of course, actually, that's not exactly true. It gets so perverted that the vendors and the politicians and all the people who are supposedly making news
mm-hmm.
time their announcements according to those deadlines. They,
right.
you know, they try to. There are all these concepts of taking out the garbage, right?
Well,
the West
sure.
Wing. I learned this one on the West Wing, that they try to have the news announcements that they don't want anybody to pay attention to, they have them on Friday afternoon.
Yes. Well, that's
yeah.
because the production routines of
right.
the journalists begin to matter to those who want to influence the journalists.
That's right. But you see, that's not really news anymore, is it?
No.
This is sort of like people playing the process as opposed to having anything whatsoever to do with what news is. News
mm-hmm.
is what happens, you know, independent of all that stuff. And, you know, it didn't, you know, so, yeah, that's, and the Internet, you know, good example, sometimes when shocking, horrible, wonderful things happen, you know, just things that happen that are so important that all your instincts go into action and your mind stops thinking about things like that, like 9/11. On 9/11, everybody worked together. It was really something.
Mm-hmm.
The reporters and the bloggers, and it was a seminal moment in that way. And of course, it, you know, it was the bloggers' story more or less until the Times got its act together, or until the, you know, the New York Press got its act together. To be fair, but they were putting out editions on the. And another good example was Katrina in the
mm-hmm.
New Orleans Times-Picayune, which is a paper I'm really familiar with because I went to college in New Orleans. And
right.
It's a fairly, I know you're not going to like this, but it's a fairly mediocre paper. Nobody really expected them to send any great, you know, journalistic, but they did. You know,
mm-hmm.
What they did was they turned it into a blog, Jay. I mean, that's what, when
you
want to cover news, that is what you do. You
well, one of the things that I admire the most about professional journalists is that in a real crisis, with a
mm-hmm.
real emergency, they are very good, and they get calmer, unlike most people who,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, go running off in seven directions at once.
Yeah.
News
right.
people know this is our time, and
right.
it's very interesting. When you see a huge story hit a newsroom, people get very quiet because they know exactly what to do.
Isn't that funny? It's the same thing in software, by the way. In all the political fighting stops when you're shipping a product.
Mm-hmm.
When you're shipping a hit.
Mm-hmm.
When you're shipping a shit product, everybody's fighting all the time. You know?
Right.
But when a thing is going to win product of the year, and I have a couple of those, you know, when a thing is going to win product of the year, the team is just humming. Everybody's loving what they're doing, you know. And I get it. I am excited. I mean, I hate to say it, 9/11 was a tragic day, but it was also a day of incredible growth. I mean, all these things happened. We put all these systems in place, and we learned so much from that process. I mean, it was really
mm-hmm.
something.
Got another
yeah,
question
and, you know,
for you.
Oh, sure.
You said a couple of podcasts ago that you believe the New York Times should redesign its Twitter feed so that in addition to sending out its own items, it's curating from the rest of the web.
Yeah, I can add something to that, actually.
Yeah, and so tell me what's happened since then about that idea. Are they interested
in that? I can't tell you what happens because that's, you know, that's about breaking confidences. And I can't
do that.
I can tell you what my thinking is on it. And,
all right.
Because that's mine, and I can do with that as I please, right? And so here's my thinking. It's been refined since then, is that, of course, yes, the Times should be putting out stuff that isn't just their own, but it's more than that. I think they should cover Twitter like it was one of the boroughs of the city of New York, that it is itself a almost a geography, that it's a community.
Mm-hmm.
It has features, it has people, it has infrastructure, it has a lot of the things that make up a city, and they cover the city. In fact, some of the people that are most active on Twitter from the Times are the people from the city desk.
Yeah.
And so that's what I think. I think, and you know, I thought when I saw so much Twitter coverage in the Times proper, I was just like, oh, this isn't good. I don't think they should be covering Twitter this much. But on Twitter, I think they should be covering Twitter a lot. And and I think they should do their job, the one that they are trained to do, and the story on Twitter ought to be Twitter. Wouldn't that make sense? I mean, if you had a doctor, the AMA, well, I don't know about the AMA, but if you had a bunch of doctors that were on Twitter, wouldn't you expect them, their contribution to Twitter to be medicine?
Mm-hmm.
I would, yeah. I mean, I would hope that they would. You know, maybe they would have to, you know, doctors are very shy about the Internet because, well, for whatever reason, most doctors, the young ones aren't so shy about it, but the ones more mature, people are my age, or your age, they are. But these reporters should not feel that's how they should do it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you made this comparison to doctors because I think it's an analogous situation. Today, when somebody goes to an MD and gets a prescription or a course of treatment, they are very likely to listen to their doctor, go home, get on the Internet, and find out about that medicine, find out who else has gone through that course of treatment.
Yeah.
And they have a lot more knowledge available to them than they did before went under the old system of medicine. And it doesn't displace the authority of the doctor. It's not like people think, I don't need my doctor anymore. But it does change that authority quite a bit. And a doctor who doesn't realize that their patients are doing this or doesn't accept it or struggles against it is going to lose space in the eyes of the patient.
They don't. The young ones don't. I had a lot of young doctors when I was doing the stint at Berkman. I got my health care from the Harvard Medical School Hospital. And so, you know, most of the doctors I had were a lot younger than I am. And they didn't have this. They didn't have any compunction about it. In fact, they were always telling me about things, services that they were offering on the net for their patients. These guys were more than just, you know, sort of neutral on it. They were evangelizing it. They were absolutely, you know, it was an integral part of what they do. I think there's a lot of hope for that in the future, you know, a generational thing. And, And I think that reporters that make this jump, see, I really do think ultimately, you know, to the Times on Twitter, I think ultimately what has to happen there is that the Times is going to be Twitter, or they're going to have a Twitter, or, you know, the Twitter, it's not just like a doctor on Twitter, okay, because the doctor on Twitter is somebody using Twitter that, you know, it's like almost like a programmer using Twitter, right? But a reporter on Twitter, it's like saying a reporter using a printing press.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference. A reporter, this is the reporter's medium.
Yeah.
This is their natural element. This is where the reporter flies and the rest of us, you know, sort of watch the reporter flying, you know.
Well, there's a deep connection between the grammar of Twitter and the grammar of journalism. They're both built on the notion of updating the world.
Yeah.
New information coming in.
Yeah, and I would add that I think the disconnect between the I don't think the people at Twitter Incorporated think about this in any way as a news medium. I don't think they understand news. So I think there'll be some friction there. You know?
Well, they wouldn't be the first people to misunderstand their own invention.
Yeah, yeah. Seems to happen, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, maybe that's a good place. You know, you always pick good places to start. I don't want to wander into that territory too much because, you know, I do hold out hope that the Twitter guys will work with us. Mm-hmm. You know, so far I haven't seen a whole lot of that, but I'm hoping to seal up. I'm hoping still that we will get there. So,
well, we're doing our thing.
Pardon me?
We're doing our thing.
I think we are. Now the question is, does an MP3 pop out at the other end? And that's where we're, you know, it would be terrible to lose two in a row, so maybe we ought to cut it off at this point and hope for the best. And how do you feel about this process? Is this process all right with you?
Yeah, easy enough.
Yeah, just call a number, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll see you on email then, and we'll then get together again on Sunday.
Okay, Dave. Good night. Thanks for calling. Bye.
Okay, thank you, Jake. Bye-bye.